to the near post. Messi to the net. Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise. La Pantarita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, we're making big progress here on Soccer Matters. Hour number two coming up live here from this beautiful building, 5353 West Alabama. The first hour, we had some Dynamo talk in there. By the way, the Dynamo will take on New York City FC at Yankee Stadium. Most bizarre dimensions you'll ever see on a soccer field. You can catch that on theCUBE. Eddie Robinson and I will have the call on that Thursday night. Then they will, on Sunday, continue their road trip to number one in the East, the Philadelphia Union. Second hour here, though, we're switching to European football, and we've got a wonderful group of guys in here tonight here that have come here to represent their supporters groups in Houston. And by the way, the supporters groups are growing leaps and bounds here. And whenever I hear people say that Houston's not a great soccer market, I just think of all these great supporters groups. So, Barcelona supporters group, Costa Din is here. Costa, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Very good to be here.
You look like you're ready to play with Barcelona.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Rodrigo de Luna, long time in the Houston soccer community, has contributed in so many ways. You might remember him with Fiesta. He has been involved with matches throughout Houston for so many years, has been a wonderful promoter of the game. He is here representing the Bayou City Blues and Chelsea. Rodrigo.
How you doing, Glenn?
Great to see you, buddy.
Great to be here.
Straight from work, a lot of these guys as well. Just met Ian Veery. He is with the Liverpool Supporters Group, Houston Liverpool Supporters Group, that has certainly been in their glory after winning the Champions League over at Hugh O'Connor's. Ian, great to meet you.
Likewise, Glenn. Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
Really excited you're here. Thank you so much. And then from Bayern Munich, how can we forget them? They were just in Houston and played in front of 50,000 people and taught Real Madrid a little 60, bit. 60, excuse me, 60. Is Justin Gardner with Bayern Munich. Justin, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
So we're going to put a bunch of great shots up because the guys have come in with the jerseys on, and they're absolutely gorgeous jerseys. Rodrigo didn't get to change because he came right from work. And we won't mention the company that you're representing right now, or we can if we want. Everybody's eating potato chips. He's got a Wise potato chip shirt on. All right. So
I'll tell you what, Glenn, though. I did bring an extra scarf. It was for you, but if he wants to don it.
My son will take it. He's a Bayern fan now.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. That's right, because your son went to that game. All right, so let's get things rolling here. The great thing about this upcoming Houston Community Soccer Dinner, it is organic. It's run by the community. We've got nine different groups out, including the four that are here tonight, Chelsea, Barcelona, Liverpool, and Bayern Munich. They're going to hang their banners at the event. It's going to be spectacular. We're trying to get everybody involved. Houston Wolves, we just got some contact with them. We're going to try to get Arsenal, El Batallón, the Texian Army. We're trying to get people to come. So it's Facebook Soccer Matters. That's where you can sign up. But the growth of supporters groups in Houston has been pretty phenomenal. What did it mean to you, Justin, to have Bayern Munich in town here against Real Madrid?
I mean, it was huge. We've been inundated with a lot of, so we're the Bayern Munich supporters of Texas. And so we, from all over the state, we've been inundated with new members, people looking to get plugged in within their respective cities. It really has been fantastic.
Ian, I'm going to take you into Liverpool. And I saw some photos from Hugh O'Connor's after the Champions League win.
Crazy.
And I was like, yeah, I was kind of wishing I was there.
I think I got covered in more beer than I actually drank that afternoon. It was just incredible. It was probably the best afternoon I've spent in Houston, I have to say.
Yeah, amazing. Can you believe, though, it's already time for the Premier League to start?
I know. It's Friday, we kick it off.
But it just seems remarkable to me we're already there.
I know.
How quick it's come.
I think with the Women's World Cup and the AFCON and everything else going on, there's been soccer all over the summer. So it hasn't really ended. And here we are back at the new Prem season. So we're ready to go.
Remarkable.
Get that extra point this year.
We're going to, yeah, exactly. 90-something points isn't good enough to win the Premier League. We're going to talk about each one of your teams with these guys because these guys follow these teams very, very closely. Costa Din with Barcelona. Well, poor Victor Valencek. He's going down there to see the 50,000 Barca fans against Napoli. And unfortunately, our guy's not playing. Lionel Messi not on the trip.
I'm actually glad he's not playing because he's more precautious than he's injured. I would rather keep him for La Liga than... some friendly game against Napoli. I mean, nothing against the guys who go in there, but most of the guys who go in there, that they don't care about who's playing, who's not. I mean, you're going for the colors, not for the players.
You're going for the club.
Yeah, I was going to go to Miami, but unfortunately my job doesn't give me a day off.
You know, you got one of the world's great. I still think you're a man of mystery because I see these pictures of you in all these exotic locations, all these beautiful women. Sure. I'm like, you know, what job does this man have? So one day you're going to have to reveal your
source. We'll talk about it.
Don't worry about it.
Definitely. We'll talk about it.
And the one and only Rodrigo de Luna, longtime Chelsea fan. He used to be a great fan of the Special One. He's kind of moved off the Special One in recent years. But he is a great member of our soccer community. All right, Chelsea, they got a little ban on transfer windows. They're not going to be able to do as much business right now. It seems like a youth movement, Rodrigo.
Well, yeah, and it's a shame, but you know it's got to happen, and you know they've broke the rules, you know, so they've got to live to it. But you know it's interesting because now they have Frank Lampard. And they're hoping for a Pep Guardiola / Zidane effect that a legendary player could bring them back up. And they've got Puslik. He's a great player, yep. Right? And
he's got a big shoes to fill.
Yes,
Eden Hazard.
He does. But you know the thing about Chelsea is they have their problems. They have defensive issues like they've had, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does.
So in the past we've seen managers move in and out of that club pretty quickly, right?
Yes.
Are they going to give Frank Lampard time here? Because this is definitely a young team.
Well, they need to because they've already invested in him and they made a big deal about it because bringing in the legend Frank Lampard. Yeah. So they got to get him time to work the way you know Guardiola was given time, the way Zidane was given time, the way others were given time. And if they don't, it's going to look pretty bad because now the image would be that these guys don't know how to pick a manager because they fire him right away. Mm-hmm. And you got to give – if you're going to invest in a manager, you have to give him time to work his philosophy, his method of work. You've got to give him time.
And even more so him because, number one, he's a new manager. Number two, they have the transfer ban. Number three, he's going to be working with a lot of younger players. So you would have to think that there is a longer rope there.
It may turn out to be a blessing because these younger players come up and come out to be well.
I'm excited to watch Chelsea because
we'll
of the
happens.
Youth. All right. So let me move on to Ian with Liverpool. Okay, you and I were just joking. 97 points can't win you a Premier League title. That's pretty crazy. Now, you've won the Champions League title. Is it really true what everybody says? It's all about the Premier League this season?
I think so. I think that's what the owners came out and said. After the Champions League final, they said, right now, we're going to focus on the Prem for this year. And, of course, we were so close last year, bar a couple of I think the injury to Firmino in the middle of the season where he changed the system, we drew a couple of games that we probably should have won, and I think that really at the end of it cost us because both Liverpool and City had phenomenal run-ins after Christmas and it was just non-stop till the end. But yeah, 97.
I mean, it's mind-boggling to sit here. You'd get 97 points, you'd lose only one game, and you don't win the title. I mean, that tells you the quality at the top. So is it strictly a Liverpool Manchester City race this year?
Looking at what's happened over the summer, I think it is. I don't know. I mean, Manchester United are obviously rebuilding. We just talked a little bit about Chelsea. I think they're going to maybe struggle a little bit to start with. Arsenal seem to be all over the place on their transfer policy as well. Spurs.
Did you hear that, Andrew?
Spurs.
Producer Andrew is a big Arsenal guy. Did you hear that, Andrew? You hear what Ian just said?
I heard it loud and clear, and he's not necessarily wrong. So we shall see.
Why? Why are you putting a Liverpool jersey on right now? Andrew.
Andrew, thanks for wearing that. I appreciate it.
Let's move on to Bayern Munich. All right. Now, look, I know they were here, 60,000, Justin. We were all happy. By the way, you get knocked off in the German Super Cup by Borussia Dortmund. Lewandowski's out there talking, saying we haven't done enough in the transfer window. I know it's the legendary Bayern, but what are your feelings going into the Bundesliga season?
Yeah, I think a lot of American Bayern fans especially have been spoiled with a Bayern that wins.
Honestly, all often. Four of you guys have been spoiled. Okay?
Absolutely.
All four
no,
of you
no,
guys.
All of us.
You four
no, all
guys
all of us
have been spoiled. Chelsea has been dominant. Barca's been dominant. Liverpool's won a Champions League. Bayern wins all the titles as well. You've all won Champions Leagues. You're all spoiled.
But so Bayern is at that conundrum where they historically are not willing to spend a lot for a player. They want to develop, but the development hasn't come to play here into fruition within recent years. And so if they're going to spend, they need to spend. And then there's the Sané debacle, but they also want to make sure that a player fits in with the club. And so... Yeah.
Well, they want Sané. Is he coming?
I want Sané to go to Bayern.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. I'm sure both the EPL phenomenal clubs here would love.
Do you think he'll be there? Do you think it's going to go through? Leroy Sané, we're talking
about. If I was the betting man, I would say no.
No, huh? Because?
Yeah, I don't get the idea. Well, so he was carted off injured in his opening match with Man City. And it just didn't seem like overall that he wants to be in Bayern. And Bayern is really, really strong, headstrong on the idea of keeping the Mia San Mia, right? They're keeping the harmony within the club. If you want to be here, then you should be here. But if you do not want to be here, it doesn't matter how good you are, you don't fit here. And so, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. I think he's every time I've actually seen him play for Man City, he's one of the most fast-paced, creative players on the pitch.
Oh, he's a dribbler.
And so
beats people.
And so yeah, I'd love to see him within the Bayern spectrum, but if I were a betting man, I would say it's not going to happen. I'd love to see him within our system. Right. But yeah, have we signed enough people? Probably
signed
not.
A couple of defenders. Pavard and Hernandez. We'll get back to that. We'll get back to that in a minute.
The one that was snubbed by the German national team?
Say that again.
Wasn't he snubbed by Jurgen Löw?
Yeah, and so that idea was because from what we heard was because of attitude, right?
Bayern saw that, and I think Bayern very intelligently says we want this guy.
I think he is a little petulant sometimes when he plays, though. You can see that in him.
So we heard that it was because of attitude from why he wasn't on the German national team for the World Cup, and yeah, for me, obviously, I don't want an attitude problem within our system, no matter how good you are. Right?
He's not the only guy in the Premier League with an attitude. A lot of young players
let's
have
be
attitude.
Real.
There's a bunch of them.
All right, so let's go to Barcelona and Costa Din.
Barça.
Let's talk about Barça.
Wow.
Is the club over-dependent on Lionel Messi?
Yes.
Are you concerned that there wasn't much done in the transfer window?
Well, I'm not really
enough?
No, I'm not really concerned because it's still not over. We still have almost a month to the end of the window. We got very good creative midfielder.
Sorry, my mind went to MLS because the MLS window closes very quickly. You're right, there is a month left.
We got a proven striker in Griezmann. We got De Jong, a very good midfielder, creative. We got a couple of guys coming from the La Masia.
Yeah, I'm losing my mind here. You guys got Griezmann and De Jong. So.
Yeah, and we just got Firpo, which is not proven. We're going to see how we're going to work out on the left side. Probably going to be backup for Alba. But I'm very confident in the team. I was not very excited about keeping the coaches and I know, but I believe in the team. I think La Liga, we're going to win, but I want to go further than La Liga. We got to learn the lesson from Roma and Liverpool, finally.
Yeah.
Can we? I don't know. I mean, if we win in a semi-final Champions League against any team 5-0, I will not celebrate.
No?
We may lose 6-0 next game. Who knows?
So, I always laugh at the back and forth between you and Eddie Mendoza of the Real Madrid group.
Yeah.
You guys are incredible entertainment, you know. You're like Richards and Jagger. You need each other.
Yeah, but the difference is I love the club. He's a player. He loves Ronaldo.
Oh.
Yeah, if Messi leaves Barca, I'm going to love Barca the same.
Eddie Mendoza, if you're listening, you've just been out. You're in love with Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes. I mean, like most of them.
He's a Juventus fan right now, yeah?
All right, we're going to take a break. We got in studio here a great group of guys here. We're going to get some more supporters group people in here next week. Justin Gardner of Bayern Munich, Liverpool's Ian Veery, Houston Kulis, Barcelona, I didn't pronounce that right, Costa Din, and of course, the one and only Rodrigo de Luna representing Chelsea. We are going to take a break here. Before we go to break, though, I want to remind you about Advantage BMW Midtown. A big thank you down there to Justin. Got me outfitted in a new vehicle, SUV. I'm taking potholes like there's no tomorrow here in Houston with the new vehicle. Vantage BMW Midtown. They love soccer. Get down there. They'll cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage. Advantage BMW Midtown. And we're going to be announcing some exciting events that we're going to be doing down there as well. So go down there, see Justin, see Philip. Advantage BMW Midtown. We are going to take a King's Court break. Back in a moment, more European Soccer Talk.
listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Completely happy about it. Completely happy about the full performance. I said before the game, if you want to be prepared for Man City, you have to make a preseason game against Man City. Otherwise, you can't. No team plays like them. That's how it is. So you saw that in a few moments in the first half when they can do what they do. We struggled a little bit positioning wise, but that's normal. And football wise, second half was just really, really good. Best way you can play against City. They are in early stages as well. That's how it is. They will be in a different shape in a couple of weeks for sure. But having this, the amount of chances we had today is a very good sign for us. Absolutely. I like the game. I don't like the result, but I like the game a lot. And so for us, it was today very, very important.
In Klopp we trust. Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Supporters groups in the house tonight here. Representing Barcelona, Costa Din, Liverpool, Ian Vary, Justin Gardner with Bayern Munich, and Rodrigo de Luna with Cruz Azul. Since we just took a soundbite from Jurgen Klopp, let's go to the phone lines. And Nesto. Nesto, quick question from you or comment about Liverpool.
Yes, definitely. I think that, first off, Jurgen Klopp is an amazing coach, and he came in on that second game after going down 3-0 and said, you know what, guys, we're going to go all out. We're going to press Barcelona for 90 minutes. And I really, really think that caught Valverde off guard. And I know that's like a big thing I talked to my Barca guys about, because myself, I saw after that first half, after we went down 1-0, the key was to actually change our style of play. And I think that's what really would have helped us, because everyone knows that Barcelona plays out of the back. Pep Guardiola plays out the back. That's how you defend Man City. You know, Liverpool in that second game against Man City, in the second half, they press Man City and you see what happens. But you've got to be able to play balls over the top. I think if Val Green would have used someone like Malcolm on the wing and Paul Coutinho and had him play out wide and stay on that back line, and really, really, really make someone like Van Dijk have to turn and run, it would have been a whole different game.
Yeah, but when have you seen? Wait, whoa! When's the last time you can tell me that Barcelona played a game hitting a ton of balls in behind a defense?
I've never seen that.
No. See, I'm not saying a ton of balls. I'm saying two or three balls. It's just changing the game.
Two or three.
When a coach sees how you play and knows the only way you play is one way, and you press high.
Well, but they have self-belief and valuation on the ball. That's the way they play the game, right?
I mean, right. But still, for me, as a person who's coached youth and done and played different sports, it's all about being that chameleon. You got to be able to change and adjust your game when a person knows you outright through and through, because that's how you really catch an amazing coach like a Jurgen Klopp or a Pep off guard.
Listen to me. Here's what I'll say. To me, that was more about motivation and preparation.
Exactly.
Less about tactics, more about motivation and preparation. And look, when your club is built on the value of the ball, you're not all of a sudden going to change just because you're getting pressed by Liverpool. You've been pressed a million times before. But I like the question, Nesto. I like you bringing it up. Let me put it to the panel. Thank you so much for calling in, because that's going to help us lead into other discussion. Thank you for that, Nesto.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You rock, buddy. Thank you for that. All right, so let's address that. Let's start with you, Costa, because you are Barcelona. What did you think about Nesto's comments?
I mean, he have a good points besides some of the players' choices. He said, like Malcolm, I still don't think Malcolm was the difference of that game. We approached that game like we won already. We were thinking about the final.
That's the biggest mistake
about Valverde. Yeah. Motivation. And he did the same tactic that he did in Camp Nou. And I'll be dead honest right now. We won 3-0 that game, but result doesn't reflect the game. Liverpool play amazing game at the Camp Nou. They have a lot of chances. We are the one who scored the goals. And the other one who didn't score, they didn't have luck. In the second game, we just played like, it was like a Sunday league football.
Is Valverde an inspirational enough leader for you?
No.
No.
No, he's not.
Frank Lampard, will he be the inspirational leader for Chelsea, Rodrigo?
Everybody hopes he will be. It remains to be seen. I mean, they've done okay in preseason, but that's, you know, it's not the judge yet. It's important games against Manchester United, against Liverpool, against Manchester City, and even against the small surprising clubs that can take 3 points off you. This is where we'll see how he works with what he has, since he can't buy any players. This is we'll see how good he is as an inspirational player.
Jurgen Klopp, Ian.
I think it's an emotional pick, Frank Lampard, because he took Derby, who were sixth, and they finished sixth. So
with young players, though.
Yeah, but I think I think Chelsea. It's definitely an emotional pick.
What else would have been out there for him, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of the other thing you go to, and he's somebody that I hope he's successful personally, because I like seeing stories like that where a legendary guy who spent that many years that loyal to a club comes back and leads him. So let's go to Jurgen Klopp, because we all love how inspirational this guy is. Yeah. I mean, I have people who don't even like soccer, but they watch the game, or my buddies' wives will watch the game and they'll watch Klopp and they'll just say, this guy's got amazing magnetism.
You could just have a camera on Klopp for the entire game and still enjoy it with
the lovable German.
Oh, he's just unbelievable.
And the metalhead.
I think him and Guardiola really are motivational managers of their players. They get the best out of them. And that second leg, I think also you underestimate the power of the Anfield crowd. I mean, European nights at Anfield, you can't beat it. And I think that and the players, they were just up for it, and it was just probably, and for me, that was a better game than the final, to be totally honest. I mean, that was the final in a way.
Yeah, but the guy, the other thing I like about him is when he speaks, it's as though he's speaking to the entire fan base of Liverpool. It's like he's letting them in. He's got such magnetism. How do you not want to follow that guy? I mean, if that guy said that he came in the room right now and said, Davis, run and jump out that window, I probably would.
I know, it's amazing. I mean, just the emotion in that game when the 94th minute header against Everton, and he goes running on the field and scoops Alisson up, and they're still playing. And it's like, oops, he goes off the field. And he didn't even get fined for that. He got a little bit of a rap on the knuckles, because I think people understand how he is and how he does get everybody going.
The other thing that I observe about him is he's just a guy that, you know, you just want to play for. And in this day and age with a modern soccer player, think about how difficult it is to keep people on the same page, especially with those, you know, with all these big clubs we're talking about that you guys represent in this room. Think of how difficult that is. So I'm going to take you to Niko Kovac in Bayern Munich. Is he going to last?
So for us,
because we're here, they're lining some people up.
Right. Well, so for me, I don't know that he is the guy. If I'm giving my own opinion, I don't know that he is the guy. However, I do believe in giving a coach some type of leeway to put in his plan and to try to sign some of his players and to move in that direction. And so far, this is going to be the first season that he really has had that power, and we've really only signed Pavard and
Hernandez.
Yeah, Hernandez. And so we'll see how that goes. Maybe we get another one more. But outside of that, you know, I do believe in giving some leeway. So maybe 1, 2, 3 seasons. But outside of that, I would love to see a Klopp or even a young Julian Nagelsmann.
Steady on. You can't have Jurgens. We've got to keep him.
Well, so we'll see. We'll see. Right. The crazy German wants to be back here. So
not yet.
But or even like a return of the Pep. You know, that would be awesome.
There you go.
Quick one to the phone lines. Kevin wants to talk Barcelona. Kevin, what do you got?
Hey, Glenn. Huge fan of the show. The question I have is this. I don't trust Valverde either. It's just so pitiful to watch a team go to Liverpool and lose and go to Roma and lose as well. My question I ask is this. Do you think this is finally the chance that they trust La Masia? And they give Carlos Alenia a chance. They give Puig a chance.
Well, we got to give a chance to them. Those two are proven players.
Well, I'm going to let Costa answer this because he's here representing Barcelona. Costa.
Hey, Kevin. But both Puig and Alenia, for me, they proved last season that they're worth to start the team at least more minutes than the last season. I mean, we got to start going young now. The players are getting the midfield and the front is getting older. We want or not. I mean, age are going up. So I would say Alenia, more minutes, and Puig definitely proof on a Copa del Rey and a couple of other games he played that he's worth the team. we can sell those two players. I mean, that La Masia cannot die. That's what we're proud of. I agree with you. We should start with La Masia more. Yeah, we should start bringing more players from the school and see where we're gonna go.
But Kevin brings up he says he doesn't trust Valverde.
We agree on that too.
Yeah, I really don't.
Unfortunately.
So who would you say is the next manager of Barcelona if you're looking out?
Well, I will say in a couple of years I'll go for Xavi. He started and then I just saw Victor Valdez is back in the under 19. He gave a couple of games. I want to go in the Guardiola era back in Guardiola era, but if that's not happen, Klopp is not.
Yeah, Klopp's not available.
Klopp, we know we're buying from Liverpool everything. Coutinho, Suarez. Mascherano. Now it's time to buy a coach.
Kevin, thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate that. Thank you for tuning in.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, there's Kevin. By the way, again, a reminder, Houston Soccer Community Dinner. A lot of these guys at this table are going to be at this. This is going to be a night of so much soccer conversation. This is a great conversation you guys got going on here. I want to go back to Liverpool again. All right, $280 million spent in three previous transfer windows. You get Alisson, right? You get Virgil van Dijk, the best center back in the world, no question.
Well,
in my mind.
Apparently Harry Maguire is now the best center back in the world.
No, he's just the highest paid transfer fee. I don't think he has, well, he doesn't have the range laterally, number one. But I think he's a solid center back and he will help Manchester United.
Definitely.
I mean, as far as paying for him. But Liverpool doesn't do a lot. So what I understand is there's a couple of young players that Sepp Vandenberg they signed.
Yep.
From Dutch kid from, I think, Zwolle.
Yeah.
And Harry Elliott, a kid from Fulham.
Yeah.
So two very young kids, 16 and 17 years of age. But I guess one of the big issues is, are you going to get a healthy Chamberlain, the Ox, and Lallana and Gomez? That could go a long way in really providing additional depth.
I think that's what he's relying on, actually. And that's what he's come out and said himself. And also Shaq didn't play much to the back end of last year as well. And he's coming back to fitness now. So I think, you know, we haven't got a second first 11 like Manchester City, but we've got sort of a second half of a first team almost. And I think he's relying on that. And the thing about Klopp as well is he's bringing through some of the young players. And I think that's why they've taken a couple of younger players, because they are developing them. And that's been proven in the last year with Gomez and Trent Alexander-Arnold.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to switch towards Chelsea now, and a new younger Chelsea with a new young manager and Frank Lampard. By the way, used to be at New York City FC. Do you remember that? He was in Major League Soccer, believe it or not. That's the next Dynamo opponent, New York City FC. And we're going to talk a little bit with Rodrigo about Chelsea. Again, four great guys in here tonight. Costa Din representing Barcelona. Ian Vary representing Liverpool. Justin Gardner with Bayern Munich, Rodrigo De Luna with Chelsea. All these guys are representative of the incredible passion in Houston. These guys and their supporters groups are blossoming, they're growing, they're making an impact in our soccer community, and they're having a great time watching international games. And we'll tie that into MLS and how it is a challenge for the Dynamo and Major League Soccer to engage and entice guys like you that are sitting in here tonight. 713-780-3776 if you want to weigh in. By the way, Cube 57, Eddie Robinson and I have the call on the Dynamo New York City FC game this Thursday night. So it's a rare Thursday night game. If you ever want to see a bizarre field dimension-wise, it just doesn't look good. You'll think you've been drinking once you turn this game on and look at the field at Yankee Stadium. $1 million a game to rent Yankee Stadium. That is what New York City FC is paying, which is basically a sister club of Manchester City. Take a break. Four great guys talking supporters group here. 713-780-3776. Guns N' Roses.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
One of Rodrigo de Luna's most, favorite vocalists of all time, Ronnie James Dio. By the way, I believe he passed away here in Houston to cancer in the medical center. And some amazing stories about him. We welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on. If you want to join the conversation here, 713-780-3776. We come back, and a big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Also, John Daspit is our presenting sponsor in Austin on that show. That's DaspitLawAustin.com. If you're listening in and streaming this show here tonight, so a bunch of wonderful things. Also, a big shout out into the Houston soccer community here tonight. The show's dedicated tonight to Arthur Young. Arthur passed away today. He was very instrumental in youth soccer in this town. Headed up Stysa for many, many years. A lot of people know Arthur Young when it comes to soccer. Sadly, he passed away this afternoon. So our thoughts with Arthur and Arthur Young's family tonight on the program. All right, Rodrigo, let's get back to Chelsea. Big youth movement for them, no question. Christian Pulisic replacing Eden Hazard. You got a manager that you have to be wondering if this is going to be his time to blossom. What are the biggest things that jump out to you? Because they've got to be, they kind of got to be smart and creative right now with these young players and expectations and all the other things that come along with this and a new manager.
Well, the first thing that jumps out for me is that who's going to be the leader in the field? Chelsea haven't had a captain since John Terry left. You know, you need to pick someone in the field that will motivate the team when they're struggling, when they're down two goals. You know, it makes a big difference. Manchester United had Roy Keane. You know, Barcelona had Carlos Puyol. You know, Liverpool had
Stevie.
Steven Gerrard. You know, Bayern Munich had, I mean, they're like three captains at once.
Philip Lahm. Let's go there.
Philip Lahm and Oliver Kahn. People like those were leaders.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's a good point.
Who's gonna?
Well, let me ask you. Who is the one that you think could emerge right now, or do you not see anybody?
I don't see any. I don't see any. I could be wrong. I don't see any personalities that could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be one of Frank Lampard's job, is to get someone that's going to rule for him in the midfield. That when they're down like that, that who's going to rally them? Who's going to yell at them? You know, who's going to pick them up? And you know, things that John Terry should do. That's going to be his first job, because without a leader in the field, they're going to struggle. Because, again, you got young players, and they weren't able to buy in the market. They've got some weaknesses in the back, obviously. You know, we can't deny that. You know, you got some good strikers. You got Pedro. You got Marcos Alonso. The Spaniards do a wonderful job. That's Azpilicueta. But you need someone behind them to push them.
Yeah. All right. So let me just remind everybody who's listening here, who's in studio. That's Rodrigo de Luna here representing the Chelsea supporters group, Iowa City Blues. Houston Cules Costadin is here representing Barcelona. We have Ian Vary, who is representing the Houston Liverpool supporters group, and we've got Justin Gardner representing Bayern Munich. So back to you really quickly, Rodrigo. Young team, you're saying no leadership. Lampard is going to induce a pressing style play. This is what everybody's saying from the reading I'm doing. It's because he's got a lot of youth, this does seem like a good idea and does make sense.
Yeah, it does make sense, especially because of the player that Lampard was. You know, Chelsea, like any team, you know, has to be an attacking team, a pressing team. But they also have to be very smart. They have to be able to control the midfield, and they need to shore up in the back. You know, but they've got very little options. And this is going to be down to, like I said, picking a leader who can galvanize a team on the field. You know, where people can fall back and help when they're, you know, when being run by in the back. That's going to be Frank Lampard's job. And also to motivate his strikers, you know, they're not standing around waiting for the ball to come to them.
Let me take it to back to Bayern Munich now. The biggest point of contention for you, Justin, that is on the plate of Niko Kovac heading into the season.
Yeah, so I would say how he galvanizes the players. And so he's, you know, we are at a point where we do have some youth. You know, you look at some young players and I mean, Hernandez is young, but also Pavard is young. So is Kimmich and Coman and Gnabry. We have Sule. We have so many
Serge Gnabry. I like
yeah, him. We have so many talented young players. However, we have this leadership that is built in within the club. And how is he going to galvanize those individuals to make sure that they lead within his style? And what is his style? I still really don't know.
Well, who's the leader of the team? Lewandowski?
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say Manuel Neuer is without a doubt the leader within this team. And then you have Thomas Müller. And that's the way the club has labeled it. Manuel Neuer is the captain, and the second captain is Thomas Müller.
I'm going to take you back to Lewandowski. He doesn't think the team's done enough in the transfer.
Well, and so if you are Lewandowski, who is maybe a top 3 to 5 striker in the world,
more a personal thing that he wants somebody in and around him to help his game?
I think that when you're at the point in his career, you have to realize, like he does, that this is I'm in my prime. You know, and I'm going to lobby for absolutely everything that I can. And so, yeah, I think that he wants the players. He wants more signings because he wants to win. He wants to win it all, right? And he has not done that yet. And he's one of the best strikers, the finishers anyway, in the world. And so, of course, he wants more signings. We've not done enough. And I would say that the fans who don't even have a stake in the game like he does, the fans are without a doubt echoing that stance that the club has not done enough. So,
Ian, let me take you to Liverpool. Let's talk a little bit about, is he going to be able to keep these guys as motivated as they have been? It certainly looks like it based on the community shield, but do we ever take into account how big of a challenge that is after the success of last year that Liverpool had?
Yeah, I think
are we taking this stuff for granted?
I don't know. I think each year that Liverpool have played under Klopp, they've got better and better. So I'm expecting, I mean, this year, we'll see.
Can he make them better?
Well, that's
this
it. Yeah, I mean, they were pretty spectacular last year. So yeah, a little bit of a mid-season wobble. Yeah. And that's cost them, and Man City pushed them all the way. You know, Man City will probably push them again. I mean, like you said earlier, it probably is going to be a bit of a two-horse race. But we'll see, you know. We had a lot of fans come out actually last weekend at Hughes for the Liverpool Manchester City Charity Shield. A lot of new
Hugh
faces.
O'Connor's big shout out to Peter Kingston over there.
Yes, and the official Liverpool Supporters Club. We had a lot of new faces. Come on down and watch a game with us. It's a great atmosphere. It's going to be awesome. We have a little boot room in there as well, so we get a little bit of an authentic Anfield feel. So
that's a they have the old pictures of the brewery in Ireland there. Yeah. The black and whites.
Yeah.
It's a great feel in there. It's over by the Marquee on I-10. Bayou City Blues are down at the King's Court, right in Edo. There, great little spot, nice intimate spot with enough there rooftop decks. You guys are at Penny Whistle.
Yes, Penny Whistle,
Costa Din,
Montrose.
Yeah,
yeah. Come watch the games with us. It's very beautiful. Penny
Whistle
small
Club,
place.
Pub, yeah.
Yeah, very good, very nice pub. Talk and greet with us, stay after the game, before the game. It's very nice.
Justin, yeah, where are you guys at?
Yeah, Bayern Munich, we at the end of last season switched to Jack and Ginger's in Midtown. They were brand new, and I can't tell you how happy we are. They've been over and beyond. The atmosphere there is what we've yearned for since Bayern Munich. So it's been a fantastic spot. They've been awesome.
Yeah, I miss Bayern Munich. That was a nice spot too. I watched a couple.
We did something there before.
Yeah, we had a lot of
with
events
the NCAA Final Four for soccer.
We had four.
Yeah, for the basketball, we
had cancer events there. We did a lot of stuff there. Yeah, did a lot of stuff there. Okay, this is an important one to get in before the show ends. How does the Houston Dynamo and the MLS product get guys like you to regularly come to games? Now we do know there is one big difference. It's live soccer as opposed to being in a pub. Nobody's gonna say it's the Premier League or the Bundesliga, but Major League Soccer's got a very good product, and it's getting better all the time. There's better players coming. You're getting 70,000-plus people in Atlanta. It's nothing to smirk at now. Anybody that's making fun of Major League Soccer is way, way off base, okay, because of where it's come. It is remarkable. So I'm going to start with you, Rodrigo. How do you get people down to the game? And let's go quickly here because we're running out of a bit of time.
Well, the biggest problem is if you go to the Dynamo game, there's no atmosphere. that turns a lot of real soccer fans off. There's no atmosphere there. A lot of it is what the club have done or have not done, right? They've left a lot to be desired in that area. But there's no atmosphere there. There is no atmosphere there. That's one big problem that. And that's a shame to say because this is the greatest sport in the world, and part of the greatest sport in the world is the fan atmosphere.
Well, we have a crazy city when it comes to soccer fans. Costa, yeah. How about you?
It's no atmosphere, but if we all gather together and go watch the games, which ideally, I mean, perfectly for us, all the games are different than our times. Yep. All our games are early in the morning or afternoon. We can make that atmosphere. Why not?
So we should be doing more. Ian, what about you? Real quick. We got about 45 seconds. We got to go.
Yeah, I agree with the other guys. It's the atmosphere for me. I mean, you get the drummers. I'm not a great fan of the drummers at the games anyway. For me, it spoils the atmosphere a little bit, but we need some singing and some atmosphere for sure.
Yep. Justin, 10 seconds.
I would say I love the MLS, but I'm not sure there's much we can do at this point.
Well, I think there's always hope, right? There's a lot we can do. There's 70,000 in Atlanta. They're selling out in Seattle and Portland. There is hope and possibility. We can turn it around. We can turn it around in Houston, Texas. That'll do it for tonight. Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza, gentlemen, Rodrigo De Luna, Costa Din, Ian Fury, Justin Gardner. Give yourselves a round of applause. Super job here, to guys. And by the way, if you're out there with supporters groups, I'm bringing another four in next week. That'll do it for tonight.